Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 684. It's March or May. It's May.
March?
I know. It's May 22nd, 2022. I've only had a few beers, I promise. We are a video game about podcasting, about video games, about... Apparently, I've had more than just one beer. I think intro says it all right there. If you're listening to this, if you are new to the show, we really are about video games, but we are about life. And I have life stories to talk about today on the show. Also, people with life stories looking like a possible fresh haircut or she just took a shower. One of the two, Kim Woods on the podcast.
Oh, that would be correct. I had to do some things today, and there was poison ivy involved. So, yes, the shower was had because God knows I don't want poison ivy. So, howdy, howdy, everyone. I'm here. I'm slightly tired, but I am here. So,
thank you for that. And, yes, Dan, we are a video game about podcasts. That's the way the show is going to go. Oh, also God. On the show, making his triumphant return, looking as shiny as ever, Peachin.
I'm back. I've missed you all.
We have not. I mean, we have missed you.
You cheeky shit.
Welcome to the show, Pete.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Oh, ginger representation in the house. Yeah. All right. And finally, last but not least, spinning the decks, Twiggy himself, Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Glad you finally made it, Greg. I did have this ready for you in case you weren't on the show. If you look at the stream in a minute, you'll see this. This would have been your replacement. But yeah, glad you're here.
There's no replacement. There is none.
You won't get that reference either because that was a UK TV series.
That is cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Peter, like that.
I don't for me. Oh, I know. I know. Because he's a new NDI source. Fuck.
Right. Oh. Rookie maneuver on Mark's part, everybody. Yeah. This is Blame Mark Show.
I did a bongo.
I did a bongo. That is it. You did a bongo. But look, I will keep talking while you sort out Pete's microphone issue. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. ish, 1 o'clock ish in depending on the time zone you're in, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. If I'm out at a Portuguese festival, then it might be slightly longer. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. We also do an audio only feed. So you'll be able to listen to us while you're grooving out at the gym. Maybe you're doing a little cardio. Maybe you're riding your bike around crashing and you want to listen to something like Dan does. We would be the perfect source. We've got a birthday to talk about. Gary Harris, boomer, turning. This is staggering to say, but 93. 93 year olds, Gary, you don't actually look a day over 73 to us. So congratulations on that. May 23rd, which is today. Tomorrow, if I look at my calendar correctly. That will be your birthday. And, I think we should have a birthday song for you. Mark, do we have something special we could play for Gary? I'm trying to give you as much lead-in intro time as possible to make sure that it is not a bongoism.
Because he's the older gentleman, I won't give him minions. A bit of Cliff. He won't have a clue who this is.
I don't think I have a clue what that is.
He's a British legend.
No, you've never heard of Cliff Richard?
No.
He's a British legend.
Should I have?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose he would have been quite big internationally, but there we go.
Wow. Okay. All right. By the way, update, Dan has not crashed in over a week.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something to celebrate.
I didn't know it was
on
Eurovision. 1968, Eurovision, Pete. I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
Clips are quiet, no. Mark. Mark, your clips are quiet.
I'm not playing a clip. I'm just playing a video.
We've got a lot of feedback from the audience, and they all are saying you're doing a horrible job, Mark. All right. Well, look, Dan, you know, look, I am excited that you haven't crashed in a week. Also slightly disappointed because I really do like your crash videos. So I look forward to them. I don't, though, want you to start faking your crashes just to get views. Okay, so let's keep that on the honest. All right. We've done the birthday stuff. We've done the intro stuff, as disjointed and poorly done as that was, which means we really need to carry into the actual show and talk about not video games, even though we're a video game podcast. We're going to talk about life stuff, what we've been doing this past week, which also includes the past month for Pete. So we'll start with Pete. Pete, what have you been doing for an entire month?
Excuse me.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
I don't want to get accused of doing another bongo.
That's okay. I was just skipping right past that on the fear that your clips were quiet.
Oh, shit. Right. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Mac was down again. There you go. Carry on.
Typical Apple. All right, Pete. It's been a month.
Has it been 4 weeks? It's not. It's been 3 weeks, hasn't it, since I've been on the show?
Three, four, whatever. Nobody's really counting, Pete.
I was going to say, who's counting?
Yeah. You should. You should be missing me.
Okay. No, I'm really...
Do you know what? I've not done a flaming thing. I'm just really bogged down with, like, tons of work, dog walks, and house chores. That's it. I've got no excuse. That's it. That's all I've been doing. And yeah, work's just crazy and it's going to get even worse. It's just coming up to that busy time and everybody's just, I wouldn't say
what's, okay, real quickly, Pete, what, besides cock caging, what is the busy time for you?
What do you mean? What's the busy time?
Well, you just said it's getting to the busy time. So yeah, well, I'm assuming it's something cyclical.
I work in hospitality. So hospitality is kind of thriving now at the minute. It's starting to get busy. People aren't wearing masks in the UK and people want to get out more. So I work in a conference center and a study center, and it's also mixed with religion, and it's a hotel as well. Without telling you exactly where I work, it's that kind of thing. It's a nice place.
And, Trump Towers, that's where you work.
Yeah, Orton Towers. And it's people are starting to come back. People are, you know, they're booking up. They want to meet up face to face. They do integrated Zoom meetings as well. And man, it's just so busy. I'm just caught up with that, when I get home, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely burnt out. And then we've got the dogs and dog walks to do and the chores. And I don't know. I've hit the wall. I'm not gaming. I went out last night with Shell, but we're not really going out. We're not doing anything apart from like being crazy busy at work. That's it.
Have you been swimming at all? What's going on with the swimming side of the world?
I've not even been swimming neither. No, because by the time I get back home from work, it's probably about, I don't know, about half six at night. We walk the dog for an hour. We have tea by that time after cooking and stuff. You know, it's 9 o'clock. We're pretty much done, and I ain't going to the gym at 9 o'clock at night. No. I can't go there before work. Because, well, we're up at 5:30 in the morning anyway to get ready for work and go. We're up early and out early because where we both work, it's a journey and a half for us. Sometimes it could take me an hour and a half to get to work, and the same for Shell as well. So, and we both have that journey back. We just get caught up, don't you, in things. And even though I'm absolutely fine, I feel okay, but I do feel tired. I know.
That's not me.
Boring Mark, I know. I get it.
That's not me. I don't have that sound clip.
No, okay. So, Pete, so what you're trying to say is you really haven't done much other than work your ass off. I think you do need to come up with a T-shirt you know, like just to wear it all the time, like an excuse shirt. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Why?
Because I feel like you're taking on a lot of burden. You're taking on a lot of blame here. The world is on your shoulders.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't say the world's on my shoulders. I'm just busy at work. That's all it is, Greg. Just busy. So I don't want to sound like an absolute misery, but yeah, I've not done anything else. So I've turned up. I'm going to listen to your fine voices and listen to what you've been doing and all your fine games, and then I'm going to go to bed.
Well, Pete, I do appreciate you making the show because I was coming in hot and late.
You was.
Yes. And so I had reached out to saying, hey, do you think you could potentially come in? I might need you to host because I was legitimately not sure I was making it back in time.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you're here, actually, because, you know, you sound way more upbeat to me and you've got far more to talk about. I'll just bore everybody to death tonight, I think.
Yeah. The rest of the audience actually is quite glad as well. So.
you don't turn up to abuse.
You do. And that's why I love you. I do really love and appreciate you, Pete, because you take it. And I've never been reported once, so I appreciate that. But I do want to talk real quickly the whole tea thing. So this is one of those big differences between the US and the UK. And every time I hear you guys talk about tea, to me, in my head, I visualize a little tea time, a little tea set. So, you know, it's very posh little. I'm drinking a little bit of tea. I might have a cookie or a biscuit with it. And that is tea time to me. But really, tea time is your dinner for us.
There is a north-south divide on this. Down south, it's breakfast, lunch, and then dinner. Up north... Oh, well, I don't know if it's like Midlands as well, but for us, it's breakfast, dinner, and tea. It always has been.
Okay, so I'm with the South on this.
Nah. Yeah, me too.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
It's like the South are always wrong because they, like a bath, B-A-T-H, they say bath. There's no fucking R in it. It's B-A-T-H. It's bath. Glass It's not gloss.
Where I work, there's a lot of middle-class people that go and where I work, and I refer it to a little bit differently for meal time. So it's breakfast, lunch, and supper where I work.
Supper would work in our realm as well because dinner, supper is interchangeable.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, supper's the thing. I couldn't say tea. They'd go, what the hell are you on about, young man?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Well, Pete, thank you for being here regardless.
Cheers.
Even if it's you're just going to be Silent Bob in the background, we do appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks.
Kim, let's talk about your shower.
Let's not. Just say we
okay.
Did. Awkward. Anyway, pretty much same as Pete, pretty much, working this week. And apparently I was told that the person she had set to babysit this next week isn't going to be able to, so guess who gets to work again this week? Yay. Really, really looking forward to that. A little bit of the stress for this week's kind of disappeared. He is actually out of the state for a while, so I'm hoping some
of that.
That's
one way to do it.
Right? Well, you know, it was his choice. It's not like we packed him up in a box, kind of like Indiana Jones style, and shipped him off or anything. But, he's out of state, but I don't know. You know how those relationship drama bullshit things go. I mean, I say maybe it'll be a little less stressful, but with my luck, it's probably just going to open another big can of fucking worms, and somehow I'm going to be in the middle of it, and I will drink more. So, usually that's how I handle things, working out and drinking. So, and maybe occasionally shooting things left and right. You never know. other than that, today I trimmed a bush.
Okay,
for now.
You're freshly out of the shower and you're telling us you trimmed a bush.
I did. I'm just saying.
I hope the razor was sharp enough.
Yeah. And I hope you clean the shower out afterwards.
We have a lilac bush that's been here for as long as I can remember because my grandpa owned this before we owned it and we've lived here 25 years. And I've never actually pruned this thing. I just kind of let it go because I am not the gardener type. Well, it's probably three times the size it was when we moved here. So I figured it was time. Plus the bus driver for Anthony, right, Yes, I know, boomer phrasing. I know. But the bus driver for Anthony complained last year that she had a hard time seeing Anthony standing out waiting to be picked up because of the lilac bush, because it was had overgrown so much. So today I took it upon myself to get my little shears and little loppers out, and I went to work on it. And I started at 10:30, and I finally quit at 1. And yeah, I'm still not big bush fucking done. So
I'm really holding back. There are so many jokes I want to say right now.
I know. But yeah. Which is why I kind of said it the way I did, because I knew you would.
Brazilian?
So, yes. I've probably trimmed away a third of this fucking lilac bush, and it still needs work. So,
are you going Brazilian on the bush, or?
Not quite, but it'll be close. It'll be a fence strip, you know.
I've been looking up lilac bushes. I mean, I call them lilacs, not... What do you say?
Lilac.
Lilac. We pronounce it, and I've been googling it, and yeah, they're pretty, aren't they?
And I like them, and they smell real nice, and I usually can't kill it, so it'll be interesting to see if next year it grows, because I don't have a green thumb at all, but hopefully not, because it's been, like I said, it's been around forever, so hopefully I'm not going to kill the damn thing by trimming all the old rotten things out of it. So
I've never seen a lilac bush before.
Well, you know,
you can even get dwarf scented ones. What the hell's that?
Well, they're not.
That's what it says.
They're not actually dwarf scented, but they're dwarf because they're smaller versions. So
I want to know what a dwarf smells like.
No, right?
To imagine if he's been working out or not.
So that was my day today. Was I started out with this thinking, oh, it'll only take me like an hour or something to cut all the old dead undergrowth and stuff out of this, and it didn't, and I'm still not done. But I think it's trimmed up enough that at least the bus now will be able to see Anthony, because he's going to be getting on the bus here for summer school for the next, 3 weeks? So, you know, so that's been my day. And there was poison ivy in this lilac bush. So, I had to come in and take a shower. And we've got this, poison ivy, wash stuff. So that way, hopefully, you get the oil off so you don't get poison ivy. So, fingers crossed.
That's what we don't really have over here, is it, Pete? I've not really heard it much over here.
Do you guys get poison oak or poison ivy? Either one? Worst thing in the world. They both suck. They do the same thing.
But we might have it in the wilds, but I've never come across it in all my life.
Are you guys familiar with it?
Only from what you've been telling us.
Okay. Yeah, so you come in contact with it on your skin, and it will create a rash based on the oils from the bush. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about bush.
oily bush.
Here's the funny thing. It's almost like it gives you an STD, because then it starts to itch, and you can't stop scratching it, and then it begins to hurt, and then it spreads. Yep. Again, it's like the STD of bushes, apparently. But you don't want to get it. It's the worst thing in the world.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So I highly recommend not doing it. And of course, it always happens when you venture out into the woods.
Right.
You stomp it around, not thinking about it. And then the worst thing is if you get it on your hands, though, and then you put it to your face.
Yep.
So it could get nasty. Yeah, my dad. So here's a fun story from my dad's past. As he was a Boy Scout back in the day, and their family went out to the beach. They were going to cook hot dogs, marshmallows, the whole nine yards. And my dad went out to get sticks to put the hot dogs on. Well, unbeknownst to everybody, he picked up sticks that had been in and around poison ivy. So half the family wound up in the hospital because they were basically ingesting it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it starts getting into your esophagus. It's a bad thing. So, yeah.
Wow.
My brother had that 1 year. He's highly allergic to it. And somebody down the road, a neighbor or something, was burning a bunch of it. And he inhaled the smoke, and same thing. He had it in his throat, and it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, not recommended.
Nope.
Let's move on to another positive, fun topic. Mark, what's been going on with you?
Just watching a bit of TV this past week or so. I wasn't on last week. Where the finale of the Halo TV series was on last week. Obviously, I'm not going to spoil it, but it was a pretty decent ending. I enjoyed it. And left it wide open for a season 2. What did you think of it, Greg?
Yeah, Yeah, let's talk about this real quickly. So, and obviously, we will avoid spoilers for those.
Yeah, we are going to do a spoiler cast.
I would appreciate it. Yes.
Yes, we do plan on doing a spoiler cast, probably in a week or so's time. I think Nicole's going to come back for that. I think there's a lot to really like about the series. There are some big misses, so there's areas that they could improve overall. But you know, I think for me, I enjoyed the Halo TV series. I think it gave some depth to some of the characters that we don't get in the games. And I know some of the, you know, the game fans are like, you know, that shouldn't be that way. And, you know, they want more action, that kind of thing. But I actually enjoyed some of the character building. Mm. I think they've taken a few things in terms of the origins aspect in a cool direction, a direction that I actually think makes much more sense than what the Halo video games kind of portrayed it as. So overall, I'm pretty happy with it. I'd probably give it 7.5-ish in terms of an overall score for the series.
Yeah.
There's one particular storyline that I think for the first season, it doesn't pay off at all. It kind of, it's interjected into overall
Madrigal one.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
and I feel like there's no payoff to it. It's kind of like it comes, it goes. There's an entire episode dedicated to it. You're kind of like, huh. Okay, so the writing is on the wall on where it could go, but in the first season, there's no real payoff to that storyline. So it's kind of just, it feels like this very throwaway story arc. I don't want to give anything away on it, but
I think it's good at storytelling for the origins of Cortana, and the portrayal of Dr. Halsey is not what you expect initially. And I think that's one of the best things about the series is how she acts and how she behaves and her motives. It's just really, really good.
Agreed. And I actually like the twist they give on Cortana's origin and story arc. Again, I think they did some things very smart in the TV series that the video game series just... I think they tried to give kind of that, all humans are good kind of aspect to the UNSC versus the Covenant fight. And this definitely has a more cloudy version of that. Anyway, I don't want to give any more away. Hopefully, Paramount Plus is coming to the UK, so you guys in the UK can watch it legally.
What are you saying?
But I think it comes this summer, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, I don't know. Yeah. But there's 9 episodes. And apparently,
I will also say, if you're not getting it illegally, there's going to be probably a free version of Paramount Plus that you can sign up to. It's ad supported. Just pony up, pay the extra money to do the non ad supported. The ad supported version sucks. I was like, oh God, I cannot watch any more commercials because they're the unskippable commercials. So you're stuck there watching.
I read online that. The Halo TV series, every episode costs $10 million per episode.
Jesus wow. Christ.
That's unreal money. But I suppose that's the norm now, isn't it?
I would agree, but I do think some episodes cost more than other episodes. There's a few episodes where I'm like, they didn't spend $10 million on this episode. they definitely have invested in it, but you could see where they can actually do even better. I hope they will make a couple fine tuning changes for next season. We already know season 2 has been approved, so happening.
Okay. Good.
And that's the good news, because when you get to the end of this story arc, you are left on a bit of a cliffhanger. But it will be resolved. They have season 2, it's already approved, so we know that we'll get that resolution. But yeah, no, Halo TV series, fantastic. I should say good. Maybe not so much fantastic.
Good. Now, what has been fantastic, though, is Ozark. Finally saw the finale of season 4, which is the very, very last one. So there's 4 seasons in total.
Not gone there.
Oh, absolutely superb.
So you liked it, because so far everybody else I've seen, they just really didn't like it at all.
It's really good.
Absolutely
like
brilliant.
It as well.
One of the best TV series I've seen. Just grips you right from start to end, and the character progression for Wendy Bird in particular from season 1 to season 4, Jesus Christ, she goes from good person to absolute fucking villain of the year for me. My take on it, it's just amazing.
This is Wendy? Sorry,
yeah,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Wendy.
Yeah, Ozark is it's kind of like the new Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah.
It shares a lot in common, I think, with that.
Yeah, the last couple of episodes are so much revelation and things happen. You're like, oh, did that really happen? And they can't do that. And oh, it's just don't expect anything because anything can happen. It's just amazing.
I didn't expect it to be as good as it is.
I've
not watched the latest season, but like the last three, they were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
I got
it surprised me too, Pete.
Richard Webster recommended this season one a while ago, quite a few years ago, and I watched it and I was hooked right from the start. Yeah, like you say, it's got that Breaking Bad vibe, but instead of drugs, it's like money laundering.
It has got drugs
in it, I suppose. but the main character's not into the drug side; he's more in the money laundering side. But it's just amazing, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a lot of good things that happen with Ozark.
There's so much I want to talk about, but you can't because it'll spoil it big time. It's so good.
No. I will have to watch this, I guess, because I haven't yet.
It's in your backyard, isn't it, Kim? Although it's
that's about 6 hours away from me. Yeah. So, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Also, just as a side note,
in
just
six
speaking
hours,
of streaming
I can get
shows.
To New York. It's crazy, isn't it?
Are you guys excited for The Boys season 3?
Oh, yeah, big time.
But the second season.
Yeah, it's just the first season Pete? Just took me by surprise. It was just wow.
I didn't like it.
What?
I didn't
really?
Like
it. Oh, wow. Okay.
I watched three episodes, I think, because you were raving about it, and now I just
it's fantastic.
Sorry.
Was it the extensive use of cunt?
Keith Urban in this is. Sorry, Cal Urban. I'm getting mixed up now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because Greg keeps going about his fucking Keith Urban. I think his wife seems obsessed with him. Yeah, Cal Urban is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, acquired taste, obviously. I'm still a little flabbergasted, Pete. Not a fan.
Maybe I should revisit it after watching all of these Marvel films.
Yeah. True, because you said you didn't like all the Marvel films, and then you started watching them and changed your mind. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I've got to try and find time to watch it probably again.
Fair play. All right. Mark, last, and this is actually why it made me think of The Boys, was this last thing you said.
Yeah, so I wanted to watch another series. I will watch something gritty in that, a bit like on the Ozark theme, and a lot at work recommended Top Boy. So it's been out a while as the original series. Again, it's about London gangs and drugs and dealing drugs and that. So we've started watching season one, I think, with five episodes in. This, again, is really good. Very gritty, down to earth, very brutal. What's up, Kim?
It's
Martin in the chat.
All right. The boys you hit off the bush. So far I'm really enjoying it. And apparently there's four seasons of this as well.
There's
only two on Netflix, so I don't know where the other two are. Netflix is saying there's another one coming.
I think it was on BBC originally, Mark. But,
right, okay.
It's just about kids growing up in two different areas in London and it's
dealing in each other's territories and that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a common thing, isn't it, in London? They're just like places in America that. Yeah, gang rivalry. There's a lot of killing. There's a lot of deceit, dishonesty. It's all about money and all about the big game. But it's really a real good TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. So that's it for me for this week.
Awesome. Honestly, not much to add other than the Halo TV series. Much like Pete, it's been busy. Work has been a little bit hectic. So I didn't really do a whole lot outside of the Halo TV series and actually getting in gaming time, which we'll talk about shortly. I will say real quickly, there's been, so just on social media, the whole like fanboy mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just going to throw this around the table, but I feel like video game fanboys are infecting other things in our lives. And maybe I'm totally off, but I mean, I feel like political views and sports view now, like people are like taking their like video game fanboy wars and then moving it over to the politics and the sports of the world. It's just bizarre. But I think
it's just a an evolving progression of people on social media becoming more and more keyboard warriors and anonymity, whatever, I can't forget to say that word. You know what I mean? So they hide behind the keyboards and they're getting more and more brave and they don't realise how hurtful the words are. And this is why I quit Twitter nearly 2 years ago and I'm that close to fucking deleting Facebook as well. Because you just look at a simple thing like someone will... Top Gear, I follow them on Facebook, and they'll put up something like a Tesla and say, "Oh, we've reviewed this." And the comment section, someone will put, "Oh, yeah, I really like my Tesla." And then other people are slagging him off and calling him all sorts of names because he likes a Tesla. And then the Tesla fans will, again, call him an Earth destroyer and all this crap for driving a fuel-powered car. But just the toxicity of people on social media, it's just... It just scares me, and it just makes me sad, and I just want to fucking leave it all.
Do you know what? That makes me. It makes me think back to recently. I was doing some recruitment for new staff at our place, and I put it out. What I thought I'd do is send local pages the ad instead of paying to advertise it, just to save money, I suppose, and. Mm. You probably gain more local interest as well. So that's why I did it. And there was one page that I put the advert on. And this woman accused me, and personally as well, for not paying the national living wage, right? When, in actual fact, if you Google it, we pay 40 pence above the national living wage because we're part of this association. Where there's only about 10,000 organisations that are part of this living wage association, and we're advocates of paying people more than the national living wage. Anyway, this woman said that this guy is not paying national minimum wage or whatever it was, and it started this huge like dialogue of just. People just like firing in, and like there was people sticking up for me, and I never said another word. I just put this ad out.
Yeah.
That's all I did.
Just but, post like, a smiley
it
face.
Just runs wild,
oh my god! I just couldn't. But I'm
well, that,
there.
And I think that is half the problem. And I mean, look, I will not say I've not fallen victim to this because certainly I have. But I mean, you see it, mm-hmm. and you see that initial response, Pete. You know, people look at that and they take it as face value. Oh, yeah. They must be telling the truth. And mm-hmm. obviously we know that's not the case. Social media definitely is tough. But hey, look, if you are on Twitter, please follow us. If you're on Facebook, please follow us.
Just don't follow me home. That's all I ask. Don't follow me home.
Unless you're hot, in which case, Kim, is the door's unlocked, keys underneath the mat, whatever, you know.
Bush anyway.
Yeah.
Well, while we mentioned bushes, right, there was a thing I was trying to find. In the UK, there's a plant. I know we are a gaming podcast, right, but there's a plant that's really invasive in the UK, and it's called... It's called Japanese knotweed, yeah. And I don't know whether you get that in the States, but it is rife in parts of the UK, and it grows through concrete.
Japanese knotweed?
Yeah. Yeah. So it grows through... Yeah.
We only get Mexican weed.
People like mortgage companies won't give new house buyers mortgages if there's Japanese knotweed within a certain radius of the house. It's pretty irritating.
Let's back this up a second. What is so terrible about Japanese knotweed?
You can't stop it. It's like really invasive, and it's really hard to kill.
It grows through what? Sorry.
Concrete footings and walls. It's pretty.
Oh, so it's destructive. Growth.
But when you look at it like from base value, you think, oh, that's pretty cute. But yeah, it just grows through everything. But there we go. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Bit of plant
Japanese knotweed. The more you know. I just learned something. All right. I think that covers everybody.
Yeah.
So let's talk about video games for a change.
Yeah, welcome to the Guardian Podcast. Here we go.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today like playing computer games.
Speaking of gardening, actually, I forgot to mention yesterday. So I like my gym time. Yesterday morning, got up early, hit the gym, did a really heavy back day. And so when I say a heavy back day will involve deadlifting. So I typically don't always do deadlifting when I'm at the, you know, when I'm doing a back day. But yesterday I was like, you know what? I haven't deadlifted in a while. Let's get into it. And so I don't go crazy heavy anymore, but I still am lifting a fair amount. 225 is where I max out at on my deadlifts. And so did my set. I could feel my back was already sore. And of course I come home and what do we have to do but a shit ton of yard work in the backyard, including the pond, like cleaning it out because we had all these crazy windstorms in past couple weeks. And so the pond was just a mess. So I had to drain it out, get it all. By the time I was done with the pond, my back, I honestly thought I might have actually for once pulled my back because I had that twinge in my lower back, you know, like kind of, I won't call it sciatic nerve, but it was just right there. And I was just like, oh, Christ, here I go. I'm going to be the old man that can't, you know, get himself up off the couch type thing. Right. But thankfully, no, a few ibuprofen and I was good to go.
Hey, Greg, when I seen that, right, that message, I thought back to a few weeks ago. I went to the gym with Kira because Kira does she does powerlifting, and she went with me and she was on about the deadlifts, and yeah. So she was showing me about the proper technique and all that jazz, and I ended up getting up to 125 kilos, and I had to Google that first, but I got to 275, so when I 275
awesome.
Pounds, and I was like, that ain't bad for a first lift. I've never done it before. But you know, the next day, my elbows, right? I couldn't straighten them. I couldn't straighten my elbows.
That's not from lifting, Pete. That's from another activity.
Yeah, it's so massive. I couldn't straighten my elbows. I don't think I'll ever do it again.
Yeah, you have to be really careful deadlifting. You have to use proper form technique. You have to keep your back straight. That's probably the hardest thing is because most people have a tendency when they're trying to deadlift, you know, if you don't know what a deadlift is, it's basically you have weights on a barbell. The barbell is on the floor and you bend over and you pick it up off the floor. So you are deadlifting it from dead weight. You need to use your legs. You need to keep your back straight. But people tend to curl their back when they try to deadlift. And that is how you absolutely will hurt your back. So I usually max out at 225. I'll do a set of 10 with that, but I'll kind of work up to it. But that's where I tap out at. I don't want to go heavier than that right now. I probably could try, but no, I don't think so.
I don't think I'll ever go to that weight again. I was just being a dickhead really when I, but it was fun at the time. It was fun. Yeah. I was just like, oh, yeah, took another 20 on. But by God, the next day I couldn't stretch my arms. It was nuts.
Well, yeah, also because you probably – that puts a lot of strain on your forearm, much like other activities.
I had no problem with my back. My technique was good. It was just – it was just pure.
Well, you were probably just holding – All right.
Boomer in the chat has just said one of the most funniest things I've seen. He says, no wonder he needs a cock cage.
All right, let's talk actual video games. Let's see who has the thing to talk about. Pete, thanks for talking. Okay, let's move on. Kim, let's talk about your video games. What have you played this past week?
Oh, you know, more of the same. You know, Puzzle Quest. We did play a little Super Mario World because I got controllers for the Switch this time, and they helped out quite a bit. So that was nice. We no longer had the cramped up, you know, arthritis hands from using little Joy-Cons. So those were nice. Big news. I am now a Hall of Famer in Forza Horizon 5, finally.
Ooh.
So,
woohoo!
Right? So, I mean, thanks to Boomer for that one. He stuck with me and helped me get there. Because otherwise, I probably would have quit on it, you know, months ago and went on to something else. But, yeah, I mean, For one thing, as busy as I've been, it was kind of surprising I actually got to do anything this week. So, Yeah, that's about it for me. Puzzle Quest 3, Forza Horizon 5, and Super Mario.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Is that Super Mario like the Super Nintendo?
No.
Super Mario World.
It's the newer one with Bowser Fury and all that.
Oh.
It's kind of like Super Mario World with that was on the SNES. So you'd pick a little different worlds and, you know, you do different things. And there's even a world where you play as what the hell is the other guy? The little
Luigi.
Not Luigi, the Toad.
Bowser?
Yes,
Toad.
Well, there is one I think where you play as Bowser too, but we haven't got there yet. But because it has the Tanuki suits and it now has the cat suit as well, and so all that little stuff. So it's kind of like the old one used to be. So it's just newer, better graphics, that sort of thing.
Cat suits. Okay.
Cat suits.
Yes.
Go with your cock cages.
You can now be a cat.
Oh, what a vision.
Right?
All right. Speaking of visions, Mark.
So we've got a bit of a resurgence on an old game, what we used to
love. We have.
And that would be PUBG.
PUBG. Anyway?
Yes.
Let me get the video.
Has it changed at all? Or is it?
Oh, my God, yes.
For the better or the worst?
So real quick backstory. We were playing Halo Infinite on Wednesday, multiplayer, right, as we do. Great time, real full session. We played a lot of big team battle. But within that, and I don't remember who was mentioning PUBG, but somebody had mentioned PUBG.
Well, yeah, I think it was Snoogans, because I know the SEAL guys have been getting back into this on PC.
Yeah. And they mentioned PUBG.
For ages. Years.
Yeah. So that made us think we should download PUBG and fire it up. Well, Mark, what do you think? PUBG?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm hooked again. I've played it every day since.
wow.
So here's the funniest thing. Let's get the funny story out of the way.
So we
duoed.
Yeah, we duoed, and all the menus are different now, and I couldn't work out how to do the duo mode. There was just an option for squads, and it just said casual, so I presumed that was the basic mode where you weren't ranked. So we did this, and we did really well. We actually got a chicken dinner on his first go. We got a lot of kills each, and it was really good. What I found out
celebrating
later was,
virtual high fives were happening. I'm telling you right now, it was a glorious moment.
Yeah.
We screenshotted. We were like, chicken, we still got it.
We still got it. What I found out later was the casual mode, you can only play 3 matches a day, and it is 88 bots and 12 real players.
You dick.
But we still beat 12 real players.
Get off.
We still beat 12 real players.
Babe.
I played yesterday. I played my 3 casual matches and I got 2 chicken dinners in a second place. No. This was a real person got the win. But I went into the normal mode. So as soon as you go on that casual and flick it over, you've got the option for singles, duos, trios, and 4 squad. So
that is a question then.
That is 99 other real players and I got fucking decimated.
Yeah, I bet you did. So here's a question. And so if you put it into that casual mode, can you get the chicken dinner achievement on singles, playing that?
I think so, yeah. You get XP. There's an AI training mode where you can play against 99 bots, but you don't get no XP or anything, no progression.
Right.
But the casual mode, it does go towards your season pass, survivor pass, and all your unlocks and all your weapon upgrades. So it does count as a casual mode, but you can only do 3 matches a day.
I have missed this game. My mate at work as well, Ryan, he plays this he used to play it religiously. Were you playing with cross platformers? Were you playing with anyone PlayStation? Or?
Yeah.
You can.
We did have
cross
platform enabled, but most of the players had the Xbox logo.
Did they?
I didn't see a PlayStation logo at all.
No.
But I think they just show up as
like a computer screen. But yeah, it was good. It was fun. Mm. It was good to get back in. The menu system has had a huge overhaul.
Yeah.
It all looked very different. And there have been so many additions. So there's a medic pack now.
Yeah.
There's also this other, it's like a duffel bag.
Yeah. Emergency pickup, it's called.
Oh, my God. I saw the link to it. So Mark sent me a link on kind of explaining how everything works. But I was in my training mode because it makes you go through training before you can go into live matches.
Yeah.
So if you haven't played in a while, it's basically kind of reset everything. So you have to redo everything. So I'm going through the training mode, and in my first training mode, live session, I find this stupid duffel bag and I pick it up, and then I realize, well, I can't pick up a secondary weapon. So you only have a primary weapon and then a stupid duffel bag.
Oh, is that why
bag.
You couldn't pick? Yeah, you mentioned about.
What the fuck is this duffel bag? And then I'm like, how the hell do I get rid of this duffel bag? I could not figure out how to drop it. But to drop it, you had to actually arm it, so to speak, like you were carrying it. Instead of on your back, it was in your hands, and then you could drop it. But I could not figure out the life of me what this thing would be useful for other than carrying four extra things in slots. It was weird.
Do you know what it does?
I hated it.
Right, so what happens is if you're miles away from the circle, you open up this emergency pickup and it puts up a balloon in the air and you can tie up to four people to this balloon. A plane will come along and scoop you up and take you to the middle of a circle. So if you're miles away...
That seems very helpful.
If you're miles away from the circle and you can't find a vehicle, you use that. It can save you bacon. When you get to the middle of a circle, you just drop out and parachute down. It looks
my
really
attitude
cool.
around that might slightly have changed.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I was just like, this is like an extra backpack. I could not for the life of me figure out what the hell this would be useful for.
Yeah, so okay, there's an EMT defib now. There's mortar shells and a mortar you can pick up. I've not tried that yet.
And the EMT backpack, that lets you not only heal yourself, but you can heal other players.
Right.
So, lots of changes to it, but it still plays like PUBG.
Yeah.
And what I also liked is, and I don't think they had it prior to, but they have a ping system in there now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not on a headset talking, you at least can, you know, ping for like locations, and they have actually different call outs within the ping, the ping system. So you could say like enemy over there, you know, travel here, that kind of thing if you need to. But it was good.
Yeah.
PUBG, it feels like that comfortable pair of slippers. You put it back on, you're like, yeah. Oh,
man, I'm just watching the video footage and it just looks
What I'm wanting to do now is we have our Wednesday Halo nights. I want to now start doing a PUBG Friday nights if possible. If we can get that rolling, that'd be good. Same score, 9 PM for an hour, but so Greg can join in on his lunch break and everything. Dinner. Now, this game has actually gone free to play. So if you previously paid for the game, you get what's now called PUBG Plus or something like that. And it basically means you get double XP all the time because it's like a paid version. So it's to sort of like compensate for those who actually bought it. And I don't think it was that expensive when it first came out anyway.
Yeah, I think it's 20 quid.
So you get double XP and a few other perks. And you get 3,000 something G coins, which is their in-game currency. You've got battle points, what you earn in-game, and G coins. You can now earn G coins in-game as well by doing the Survivor Pass. So you can actually, over a long period, if you play enough of it, it's like your Halos and that, you can actually earn enough points to buy your next season pass. Survivor Pass. So I actually bought the Survivor Pass with my free coins because the Survivor Pass is, I think it's 800 G coins.
Yeah. I did the same thing.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to be playing a lot more of this, getting my money's worth out of it. I just need to get good again.
On the video footage, is this someone you know?
No, this is just one I found on YouTube.
The kills are just like insane.
I think this is PC as well. With the movement, how quick he's aiming, I think this is PC.
Flipping heck.
That's definitely PC.
And like Snoogans sort of like replied and said, yeah, definitely. I think the problem with, I've got it on PC as well, and my lad plays it on PC with a Seal Guys, but there's that many people on PC who have played this for a long time since launch, and they are absolute hardcore at it, and
yeah,
I won't last half the time as what I'm lasting on Xbox, and that's not a lot. But yeah, I need to get a lot more practice in, because this game is one of those where the more you play it, the more you get better. It's just like the Halo multiplayer, I think. But we're having a lot of fun.
There's the practice side of it. I also think there's a lot to be said about setting up your controller.
Yeah.
So I have the Elite 2, so I you know, use those shoulder, the back buttons on the Elite and the shoulder, you know, they kind of, you can map them to shoulder buttons or whatever, but it is super helpful in a game like this. Especially like the ping system, you can map that to, you know, one of those back buttons. You can also map, I think it's the right bumper that does free look. And that is absolutely a must in terms of, you know, having free look be available to you easily. So when you are crouched down against something or, you know, you're trying to get a lay of what's around you, you can easily do that without having your character actually turning around. Because sometimes just that movement could potentially even give you away.
So it does run really well on the Series X. But you have got an option for graphical or frame rate priority. I've gone frame rate because at first it was set to graphical and it was a bit choppy. Now it's on frame rate. Like, PUBG's never been known for its graphics anyway. It's not the best looking game, and it still isn't. But it does run a lot smoother than what it did on the original Xbox. It run like dog shit on the original Xbox. Like, when you jumped out of a plane, you were jumping down, and none of the terrain sort of like kicked in until you were like 10 feet from the ground. At least you don't have that problem.
And then
the house wasn't spawning in, and there was no door for, fucking 30 seconds. But, yeah, at least all that's gone now with a modern... More powerful consoles, but it's good. I'm getting back into it. It's got that hook into me again.
PUBG Fridays.
Yeah,
we'll make it a thing.
PUBG for life. And the other game, Pete, I've been playing.
You know, you're coming for it, Pete. PUBG.
I know. I'm thinking like Fridays there.
Start spamming you. It's the evening.
Shell said to me the other day, you need to stop. You just need to make the time. Just make the time to go. But it's, I might have to say I can't ward the dog tonight with you. You're going to have to go alone and,
Shell, I really just need some me time.
Yeah, I've got to play with my friends. I've got to jump on with my friends, run around a lot and die a lot.
Mark, anything else?
Yeah, so... I've been playing this for a long time now. I've jumped back into Far Cry 6 on the PS5. Trying to get it finished. Typical Ubisoft game. It goes on and on and on forever. the map is full of fucking icons everywhere. And every time I go past one, I think, I'm going to have to just take that base. I'm going to have to do that checkpoint. The story's progressing nicely, but it's getting a bit long in the tooth now where you think you're getting to the end and the bad guy gets away again and... It opens up a new chapter. But it's really good. The gameplay is really good. The gunplay is brilliant. Graphically, it's amazing. Good voice acting. And they keep throwing in free DLC. And I come across one by complete surprise the other day. I put some pictures up in the WhatsApp group. So there was this like white little square, and I didn't know what that was. And I went to it thinking it was a story mission. And I went into this base, and there was the big sort of like thing what opens the doorway in Stranger Things, like the one in Russia. Press this button, activate it, and it opens up the thing, and I go into it, and then you're in the upside down. You're in the other world. And then you get the titles, and it's got the Stranger Things music, and it says Far Cry 6, The Vanishing. And it was fucking brilliant. I loved it. It was creepy. There was a red sky and it kept getting flashing with lightning, and you could see that big, like, six-legged monster thing in the background. And then you had infected people or whatever coming at you and attacking you. You went in with no weapons. You had to start again with all your weapons. and you had to get to this point, and I can't remember what you had to do now. You had to recover something and get it back out and then destroy the portal. But absolutely brilliant. It was so much fun and so unexpected. But apparently there's also a Rambo game mode in there somewhere in the map. I haven't found it yet.
Is there?
And one with Danny Trejo, Machete. that guy from Dusk Till Dawn and Machete and all them films. He's got his own little missions in there. So really, really good and really enjoying it. But it's just fucking huge. I've been playing it for ages now. I don't know how many hours I got into it because on the PlayStation, I'm not sure how you can check your hours.
But You can check your errors. But anyway, I wish Assassin's Creed would do that. They charge you for everything. Yeah.
That new one for Valhalla, it's cost a fortune. It's nearly as much as a game, isn't it? It looks good, though. Ragnarok.
Was, Yeah, they released one. It was, I think it was £120 for the game and all of the DLC, which, yeah. I mean, it's an enormous amount of gaming. I mean, I put like 130 hours worth of into just the bog standard game itself without the DLC. So you could probably put another 100, maybe 200 into it. But I saw, you know, like this, you know, it just... It's been nice when it just to throw a little bit of a sweetener.
Yeah.
If somebody said there's a free DLC that you can get for Assassin's Creed, I'd probably be more tempted then just to add another one on for a tenner. But they're charging for every one, which
I'm quite surprised because this is a Ubisoft game and they're putting free stuff in. It's really good. Now I've played a lot of it. I've got leveled up quite a bit. I've got some really good weapons, and some of the weapons and what you can do with the explosions is just brilliant.
Mark, when do you find time to game then? When's your thing? Is it on a night? Is it before you go to work?
I'm not a morning person, so I'm usually wake up, cup of tea, and then I'm out the door. I'm off to work. So I don't like getting up on a morning. On the night time, if I don't flake out after my tea, and I don't fall asleep, then I might have an hour or so. It's usually when Jenny's watching all the fucking soaps, Emmerdale's and Coronation Street and shit. So I'll come up here for an hour and a half or whatever, 2 hours, play my games, and she'll send me a text saying, they're done now, you can come down. So I'll go down, then we'll watch Netflix, we'll watch Top Boy or whatever. A couple hours. And then weekends, like this weekend, I've had quite a bit of gaming time. So it depends how busy we are. I like it when it... I like it when it's bad weather on a weekend because I've got an excuse on the Xbox. I was supposed to cut the grass today, and Jenny says, "Oh, it looks like rain, doesn't it?" I am off my Xbox and see you later.
So what you're trying to say, Mark, is your grass is not neatly trimmed.
No.
Yeah, but Kim, you've got to sit on a riding mower for a
No more, mate. I'm letting the birds and the bees do the business.
Kim, you've got to go on a ride-on mode for about 6 hours if you want to cut your lawn, ain't you? Is that right?
Well, I don't know. I don't get to do that anymore since we got Dad the new mower. That's all his job now, apparently, because he's out there doing it now as we speak. So I think that's the second time this week. And in the last 2 weeks, that's probably the fifth time he's mowed our yard. So.
But we get that much rain and that. Our lawns grow, like, really quickly. I mean, it's only 2 weeks ago since I cut mine, and it's, like, fucking nearly knee-deep again.
We've only got to cut like, I don't know, 10 square feet or 30 square feet. Kim's got like half of Kimberedge.
Size of my village.
Trying to think of that park by you in, is it by Leeds? Hyde Park, Hyde Park. She's got Hyde Park to mow, you know.
Kim basically lives like on Yellowstone. That's what you need to understand.
That's it for me. Just them two games this week. I've been trying to get Far Cry 6 done. It just never ends. So hopefully next week I'll better say I finished it. But it's just going on. Yeah,
but isn't that kind of one of those funny things? It's like you want to get to the end of it.
Yeah, I want to get to the end because I want to move on to something else. I've still got Elden Ring.
But then you kind of don't want it when they're good. You don't want to.
Right.
Yeah, but it's getting to that point. Right. I had the same with Ghost Recon Wildlands. I've got to the point now where I'm getting a bit bored now. I want to move on.
Right.
I've done enough now. I've had enjoyment out of it. It's becoming a bit of a chore now. It's still fun, but it's getting to the point where I'm done. Because I've got Guardians of Galaxy to start. I've got, I've just got so many games to start. Elden Ring to finish, which that'll be another fucking marathon, won't it? So, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what game. There was very similar for me where I was just like, towards the end, I was just like, just fucking die. I don't care. Die and just be done with the story. I don't care.
That's kind of the way I got with the icons on Witcher 3. As much as I loved Witcher and the story and the whole thing, but all those damn side missions and question marks, I finally just got, you know what? No.
Well, Far Cry 6, every time you complete you take over a base or do a checkpoint, there's always a guy there with a fucking exclamation mark on his head. You go up to him and he gives you another fucking side quest. So the side quests on the menu, there's fucking hundreds of them.
Well, so here's a question, and we'll start with you, Kim, since you kind of brought it up. But
okay,
we all talk about, you know, we love our long games, but there is a point where it's too long,
right?
So, in your mind, what is that perfect game length?
I don't know, honestly, because I'm good at milking like hours out of my game because shit, how many hours did I put into like Dragon Age and like Red Dead. I mean, we're talking 200-300 hours at a time.
Right.
And as long as, like I said, and I love The Witcher. The only problem with me for The Witcher was is all those damn question marks, and then you felt like you had to do them all. Until finally, I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? No, I want to get through the story, and I want to, you know, I like the actual story aspect of it as opposed to what all these little question marks and treasure maps and all that other crap meant. So. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, so let me rephrase this then. I'll rephrase slightly. So when you hear like media outlets talking about game length, and they're saying this is a 5 to 10 hour game, it's a 15 to 20 hour game, or you know, the 40+ hours. In your mind, when you're hearing times, what to you is like, oh, okay, that sounds like a good length to me. What comes out? And I do not make a length joke.
Okay. I don't know. Kind of like I think maybe is usually the time for everyone. I don't know. I like to put in like 100 hours, something like that. Okay. You know?
So you want to hear 100+ hours?
Well, yeah, because if I'm spending 60, 70 bucks, say if I'm, you know, for a game, even if I don't spend that much, I'd like to get my money's worth. Because I mean, I'd hate to spend that kind of money for a game and then like in 12 hours I'm done with it and that's it. That for me, that would be kind of disappointing. I mean, I get there's other people that are just like, oh, well, that would work for me because I don't have a lot of time, yada, 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 and I get that. But if I'm putting out that kind of cash for a game, you know, I want it to go on for a little while.
Okay, so then I will further refine this, and then we're going to move on. And definitely, chat, we would love to hear from you guys on this, too. So assuming a full-price game, so assuming we're talking $60, $70 game, so full-price game, What's the time scope you want to hear? Mark, let's go to you next. You said you had an answer for this.
Yeah, for me, there's two different answers for two different types of games. A linear game like Wolfenstein, I think 12 hours is right for a linear game. An open world, for me personally, 60 hours. When I played Wildlands and Breakpoint, once I got past 60 hours, I was getting... It becomes a chore for me. I'm getting bored of it. I want to move on to the next one because there's that many games out there for me. So, yeah, open world, massive games, 60 hours for me. Linear games, 12 hours.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Pete, do you agree with Mark? Are you more with Kim? You want 100+ every time? What's your thinking?
For a linear game, I'd say 24 hours.
24 hours.
Around the 20, between 20 and 30 hours. So I'm going to go 24, 25
hours. Okay, all right.
So I'd go for that for a linear game. I think Mark's right. You know, if you've got a linear game that's always steering you in a direction, you don't want it to end too quickly. And 12 hours, I think, would be too quick, for me. Yeah. So a good day's worth, is definitely worth it. And I like my 100-hour games.
That's your preference. You're entitled to our preference. For me, it's too much. World. Mind you, having said that, there are exceptions like Red Dead 2 and Skyrim and Witcher 3. I didn't mind putting them hours in because I never got bored of them.
Right.
So there are exceptions to that, but on average...
Well, because I guess here's the question. So obviously... Kim, you loved Red Dead Redemption 2. Uh-huh. Mark, you know, you loved Red Dead Redemption 2. You loved, Dark Souls games. Mm-hmm. Pete, obviously, we know you loved Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So those games, clearly, you're going to be cool with 100+ hours.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously, yeah.
What if you don't necessarily love the game?
Then
100? Because you run the risk, right?
Right.
This is going to be my third point. I really don't care how long a game is, as long as it's enjoyable to play. I can't if a game just isn't doing it for me in the first 3 or 4 hours. I don't care if it's a 100-hour game. I don't care if it's a 24-hour game. I don't care if it's a 6-hour game. I ain't gonna play it. I don't care.
Okay, all right.
And the thing is that we're now subject to all of these subscription models where we've got the choice as well to play those games and move on to another one. So. It's one of those for me. If I don't enjoy it, I'm not going to invest my time into it, regardless of how big the game is.
Okay, that's pretty fair. I think I'm kind of a a mishmash of both of these points of view. So I think on the linear front, right around that 20-hour mark is where I want to be with the linear game. Possibly a little bit shorter than that. It's just, I think it depends upon the game. And then for open world, honestly, 60 is where I want to be at. Anything above and beyond that for me, it's just that's just a little too daunting. I don't think I have the time bandwidth and or honestly the ability to just stay with it for that long. So I want those games to at least give me a path to keep it a little bit shorter. I think 60 hours is where I would max out on an open world game. I don't care if it has the side quest to make it go longer, but this main storyline, it has to wrap up. And honestly, now that I'm talking about this, I'm going to say for an open world game, I want to be able to mainstream that story in about 40.
Mm. Well, this is the good thing about large open world games now, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Red Dead Redemption. You can see what missions are storyline and what are side missions, mm-hmm. and you've got the choice. The world's your oyster. So if you're really sucked into the game, you're completely immersed into it, and you don't care if a side mission takes like 20 minutes or an hour to do, and it's not even giving you any of the storyline, any of the main dialogue, you just don't care. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, if you just want to just fly through the game, or you want to speed run it, or do whatever you want to do, you've got that option there, which is what I love about these games at the minute. They're just all these large, you know, RPG, open world,
right?
Do whatever you want. I prefer that, but I just like that option. It's mm-hmm. it's good. We're just given the option as gamers now, aren't we? We're given the choice to do whatever we want to do, and I like that.
Yeah. I mean, this could lead us into the difficulty setting conversation, but I'm not going to go there.
Well, that's not hard for me.
Easy mode, all the way.
I go on
story
easy
mode.
Yep.
If it's Gears, I'm going insane, baby.
I normally go normal, and if I get frustrated, it goes to easy really quickly.
Well, you used to have to complete it in hardcore to get unlock insane, didn't you? I don't know whether you have to do that now for the latest one, but yeah, I like a challenge on that. My brother used to play COD on, is it Veteran?
Veteran, oh yeah.
He always wanted to play it on Veteran. I've done it a couple of times.
I've only done two CODs on Veteran. My first one was Call of Duty 2. Fucking hell, that was a nightmare. It's just a spam of grenades all the time.
Is it Modern Warfare 2 I did on Veteran? Yeah, that last mission, I think, is it when you're coming out of the plane and you've got to jump out? Bloody hell.
I did but two anyway, and three. Three was World War II with the Germans and that. And there's a mission in Call of Duty 3 where you storm the, is it the Reich building or something in Germany? And the number of fucking grenades what get spammed at you, it's just, it's so frustrating. I won't be able to play on Veteran anymore. I'm too old for that shit now.
I think I forgot to say, I did play a game, actually. It was Cuphead, and I'm at the final boss now. I'm there. Nice. I'm at the end boss with my lad, but we can't beat the end boss. It's the devil. Jeez, man. That game, I don't know how many hours we've stuck into that. We've been playing it for ages now.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
You can find out. That's actually one of the things I do like. Yeah. I like it and I hate it. And I think it's under the achievement area. They have a stats page now. And PlayStation has it as well, where you can see how many hours you've played. The only thing I do wonder is if it, you know, like if you put the game in kind of quick resume, so you don't quit out of the game, is it potentially tracking some of those hours, you know, kind of the, you know, you're in a menu kind of thing. You're not really playing it. I don't know.
Oh, anyway. No, surely not. I don't know. But have you played all of Cuphead? Have you got to the end?
I've never finished Cuphead. I played about a level, and I was like, not for me.
It is so tough. I can't believe how difficult that game is. It's nuts,
it's insanely hard for, it looks like such a casual, fun game.
Yep.
And you get into it, and like within minutes, you're like, motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're on the last boss now, the devil man. Yeah. It is tough.
Oh my God, he's just gone out of skin and there's a skeleton come out of him. Wow.
Yeah.
Have
you got that far?
I love watching Cuphead.
Yeah.
I do not want to play Cuphead.
Oh my god, you're on little platforms now.
If you die and you see how much progress that you got through on a level,
mm-hmm.
I've got like about a millimeter away from the flag on this level. Like I was there. I nearly completed the game, and I completely fluffed it. I died, but it's so difficult that last boss.
Yeah, it looks.
Sure Kyle will come on and say I've done it on expert. But,
he has, and even his son's done it, hasn't he?
I know, his son's an absolute nut on this. There's a DLC, isn't there, coming soon for this game as well?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I'm sure there's a DLC for this, but anyway. God, this game.
All right, well, I guess it's me, unless, Mark, you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Well, we already talked about PUBG, so I won't talk about that. I will talk about GameShare for a second. So, God. So, I think it was Monday night. It was late. I was tired, but I was looking to, I wanted to reset the cache, clear the cache out on the Series X, because I was noticing some of the apps, the video apps were running a little hiccupy. And one of the things they were saying is clear out your cache. And so I'm like, I'm looking up online to figure out a way to clear the cache out. And I stupidly just went with the first option that was given to me, which was they said, hey, you could just do a reset on your console, but check mark, keep my games and my game data, and everything's going to be fine. So I do that. And like 2 minutes into me having clicked that stupid button, it like cold wash happens on my body. And I'm like, fuck. Because I realize, of course, I just factory reset my console. And the bigger problem, it's not that in and of itself is that big of a deal, because I could just, pull up my gamer tag and load it up fine. However, I game share with my brother-in-law, in quotes, over in the UK. And then suddenly I'm like, I gotta get all his information back on my console. So I go through all of this headache, and mind you, these are like the wee hours of the morning for you guys at this point. And so I'm texting Mark at like, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, your time.
I think it was about 3 a.m. The text came through. Yeah,
so I'm all, hey, did kind of a stupid thing. Gonna need your info so I can plug you back into my console. And then I'm trying to, Mark gives me his information. I put it on my console. Right. And then we go to try and mark off home console, because one of the key things with game sharing is under Mark's gamer tag on my Xbox, I have to select home console. Yep. And under his, he has to do the same thing for me.
Log in as you and then select my home console. Yeah.
I go to select it and I see the little spinning icon, spitting. And I'm like, oh, this is not a good sign. And suddenly it just comes back to the screen and home console is not checked off.
And I do it again. Exactly the same for my side as well. Just spins.
Do it again. Nothing. So then I'm like, well, let me go to my account. So I actually went online, go to my account, because you have devices that are connected to your console. And so I saw that I had my old Series X still on there. And then I also noticed that there was a duplicate. Not my old Series X, but my old Xbox One, One X. And so I got rid of that. But then I noticed I had two Series X on my account. And it's because when I factory reset it, I gave my new console a different name. And so now it was showing the same serial number, but under two different console names. I'm like,
God.
So the headaches are mounting. So I get that cleared up. But still, the home console thing's not working. So I am nervous at this point, because I'm like, fuck. Maybe they're trying to kill off game sharing. Maybe they're secretly saying, we don't want you doing this anymore. And so I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So I contact Xbox support on Twitter, which, if you've ever done this before, the first series of questions you get are all bots. So it's AI bots that are just, kind of asking you dumb questions. Basically, have you turned the power on or off? So I finally got to the point where it said, well, connect me to an actual person. So I do that. And then they're like, well, we totally get it. Let me see if we can help you out. Give me your username, your console serial number, And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm a little nervous. And I'm like, well, then, so then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to fess up. I'm going to go with an almost true story. This is me fessing up. So I'm like, well, my brother-in-law and I used to game share, but then he moved to the UK. You know,
I moved to the UK 52 years ago when I popped out of my mom's womb.
Long story short, they totally took care of the problem. They
actually, but we're really good on that.
Yeah. Within, it was probably about half a day, they contacted me back on Twitter and said, hey, problems should be fine now. Let us know if you have a problem. So I go to the screen. I click on my home screen under Mark's gamer tag, clicked on home console, checked off perfectly. Everything worked fine. And then Mark went to do it on his side, and it didn't work at first.
No, well, what happened is when I went onto Greg's profile, the home console was already checked. So I thought, oh, great, I don't have to do anything. When I tried loading a game up, I tried XCOM 2, it kept saying, do you own this game? Go to the store sort of thing. So I'm thinking, why is it doing that? Cause when you buy a game, you get two licenses, one for the console, which is a home console, and one for the gamer tag. That's why we can game share. And I'm thinking, well, Greg's console is my console. It should work. What I had to do in the end was I unchecked the box and then rebooted my console and then rechecked the box, and then it worked. So right. Whether support automatically checked that box and my console didn't recognise that, I don't know. So once I'd deselected it and reselected it, it worked, and it's working fine now. But yeah, I had a bit of a scary moment thinking I was going to have Greg logged in all the time. And what's weird as well is normally when you log in and someone logs in your account somewhere else, it normally logs you out. You can't be in two places at once. But we were both logged in at the same time, weren't we? You were logged in both accounts on yours, and I was logged in both accounts on mine. And we thought, well, that's different. That's not usual.
Yeah, so. it was a weird moment. So lesson learned, don't reset your console. But also, game sharing is something that clearly Xbox is still cool with because the support
on their website.
Literally fixed the problem.
It's on their website. It's clear how to do it. And it doesn't say you have to be related, brother-in-law.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was just covering all bases. I'm like, I'm just going to make this feel like game, you know, family sharing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that got resolved, thankfully. Again, we played Halo Infinite on Wednesday, had a great time.
We had more people this week. Yeah, we had to do a big team. I didn't enjoy it as much as Fiesta, but it was still good.
I think that was the overall sentiment. Everybody to a person said, not quite as good as Fiesta, but we still had fun.
Yeah.
There was one game mode called Power Seed.
Yeah.
Which I had no clue how to play. For the most part, it was, you know, you're on this map. There are these power seeds that drop, and each team has to go and collect five and return them to base.
And there's like slots and, you put them in, and you have to fill all the slots like up to get
container slots to put them in there. But you can go to the other base and steal them. Anyway, needless to say, not a fan of it, but. It did ultimately be a fun, you know, a fun mode for me because of the very last match I think we played, I got into one of the, not a Banshee, but the UNSC version, the Wasp, and was just raining hellfire down.
There's both you and Snookins in a Wasp each, and you were just raining hellfire on them.
That was good times. But anyway, all right. Speaking of a game that I'm kind of at the point where I want it to finish, Trek to Yomi. I've very much been enjoying this game. This game has a lot of atmosphere to it. You're playing basically a Japanese samurai. The part where I'm kind of like, I just want the game to finish is there's basically kind of, I don't know how to put it. I believe there's five chapters to the total game. But over the course of it, you will face, in a sense, kind of three different enemy types. But they're basically the same enemy type with a different skin. So, I mean, they have, you know, kind of four or five different versions of enemies within that. But you're kind of – it feels like you're playing the same kinds of characters. They just look slightly different, and it's in a different environment. So I kind of got to the end of it, and I'm like, I'm ready to be done with the game. I've enjoyed my time with it. The combat itself is decent. It's not great. And the main reason why it's not great is there is just a little bit of sponginess to the parrying system. And so you have to parry a ton in this game is really the only way you'll be able to beat certain enemy types, because they will, the moment you try to attack them, they will either block you or they're quicker to the attack than you're ever going to be. So you parry, and if you time your parry properly, it creates an opening for you to attack the enemy and land some hits. So I've mapped the parry button, thankfully, to one of my back paddle buttons on the Series 2 controller. That's helped a lot. It's made it a little bit more responsive. But there's still just very frustrating moments where you go through like 10 to 12 different enemies, and they're kind of whittling down your health as you're fighting through them. And then you get to a boss character and you've got, you know, two or three health left. And you, there's just, you know, you're dead. You're not going to make it through this. And the only other thing that I'll say that to the credit of the game is that it reloads super fast. It's very much like Trials, where the moment you die, the game's back up and you're playing again. So you're not having to wade through a big, long loading screen, that kind of thing. And the checkpoints themselves are fairly frequent enough to where you never feel like it's overly punishing. But I'm now at this end boss that part of the end boss is they send waves of other characters at you first to try and whittle you down. So you're having to kind of beat the standard characters, and then you fight the boss character, and then he takes a break and sends more characters at you, and then you have to beat the boss character. And at that point, I'm just like, oh, fuck. And of course, I'm always dying right towards the end. And so I finally just said, it was like 12:30 in the morning. I'm like, screw it. I'll come back to it. And I haven't touched it for a couple of days now, but I should have it done. Overall, the atmosphere of this game is awesome, though. I will say, I visually, it's a lot of fun to look at, because it's that old, you know, very film grainy kind of samurai environment. And they do a really good job with the whole black and white visuals of this game. But yeah, Trek to Yumi. It's good. It's not great.
How many hours have you got into it, did you say, sir?
It's probably, I mean, they say you can complete it in about 6 hours. I'm probably closer to 8 hours with all the starts and stops and having to restarts. But yeah, it's a fairly short game. I mean, if you put your nose to the grindstone, you could probably get through it fairly quickly. And I do believe there's different difficulty settings you can set it on. I think I'm just in normal mode on it. So again, I think if you're looking for a kind of side-scrolling hack and slash with a couple light puzzles, nothing challenging, it's a good game. And again, don't let the combat completely discourage you, because I do feel like once you kind of get the beat of it, you'll understand. It takes a little while to get there, because the whole sponginess of the parry, like you're gonna be like, I pushed the button, why didn't you parry? You'll understand you're having to time it out a little faster and be a little quicker with your parry. But once you start to get that down, you start to understand the cadence of the enemy characters, because some of them will have attack patterns. And it's really important to understand. I think the game actually will be more enjoyable for you.
Talking about hours in a game, Hardly Dan says, it took me 9 hours to get into Guild Wars 2, and I ended up putting in over 2,000 hours.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Guild Wars 2, that game was, if I remember correctly, it was not a subscription-based game, but it was basically World of Warcraft.
Initially.
Yeah,
they got me into that, but I remember playing with Dan and Gary back in the day. I've still got it on PC somewhere.
That's lifestyle gaming. That's not just
insane. Jeez. Do you know what? Well,
it's your typical MMO, don't it? It never ends.
This is so neat, aren't they, on this game that you were talking about?
Yeah, Trek to Yumi.
Yeah,
it's really unique. And I mean, I love weirdly the fire, the black and white fire visuals they have in this game. Whenever you're seeing fire, and you'll see a lot of it, but it just really speaks to me. Something about the visuals of this game, I was just like, yeah, no, I want to play this. So
yeah,
all right. We are going to transition. It's not a quiz. But we do have a little bit of a fun game to play here. It's buy it, fund it, kill it with fire. Or in the UK, you might say, fund it, buy it, bin it. All right. So the premise of this, I know, Pete, you've not played this. Kim, you played it last week. Mark, you haven't played it
either. And you were terrible.
Hey. All right. So it's not going to get any easier for you, Kim. So here's the deal. You're playing the role of a director of a major media entertainment entity, and you've been presented with three properties. This can include people and things, so not necessarily just IP, but you have to make a decision around these and decide the fate of them forever. So, Kim, we'll start with you just because.
God damn it.
Yeah. So you'll understand how this works. So, Kim. Mm-hmm. You are at your desk. You've been approached with three actors.
Oh, God.
You have to decide the fate of these three actors.
I know one of them actors straight away.
Yeah. So, Kim, decide the fate. Henry Cavill, mm-hmm. also known as The Witcher.
Superman. Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth,
known as
Thor. Or Roger Clark, who plays a character, Arthur Morgan.
Shag it and shag it.
No, we may not. Kim, you need to tell me, which of these actors do you think you are going to fund for multiple projects? Which actor might you just buy for one project? And which actor do you feel, you know what, they need to go work at the pizza parlor?
Have I mentioned you're an asshole? Because
yes, you have.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so Roger Clark, Superman, or Thor. Holy shit. I don't know.
All right, Kim. Well, let's start with the easiest of this, which is which of these three, who do you say, you know what, go work at a pizza parlor? You are never going to work it. You're never going to make it in the entertainment industry.
God, this pains
me. Is it Henry Cavill? Is it Chris Hemsworth or Roger Clark? Who do you think just doesn't have a future in entertainment?
God, this pains me horribly. I'm going to go with Roger Clark.
Roger Clark.
Yeah.
Now pizza delivery man.
He tweeted her once, tweeting back saying she's binning him off.
Roger Clark, you've just been binned.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So now the big question, Kim. Henry Cavill or Chris Hemsworth, who do you bet the farm on and say, this person, I will fund them for the rest of their living careers?
And he said fund, because, Kim, fund.
Yes, fund.
Well, either way. Probably Hemsworth, because it seems like in almost everything he's in or touches or whatever, he can make a big thing out of it.
Well, that's surprising. I thought you might have gone Henry Cavill for that.
It's a toss-up, because honestly, all three of them are pretty damn good.
But you have
at
been a Hemsworth fan longer, I think, haven't you?
I guess, but I killed Thor off last week, so, you know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Hemsworth for the win. Okay. Mark, you're up next. Mark, you are sitting behind your big posh desk, and in comes intern Kim Woods, and she says, Mr. Wright, we have three different video game series we need you to consider. So you need to make this decision now for all time, Mark. Mm-hmm. Which of these game series will you fund, buy, or bin? The Uncharted series, the Dark Souls series,
bastard,
or the Last of Us series?
I thought you were gonna say God of War. Fucking hell. Right,
I thought about it, but I didn't. Thinking about everything in totality,
all right, I wouldn't want to kill with fire any of them, but if I had to do, this is gonna be controversial, it's gonna have to be the Soul series, because they are extremely hard.
I did not see this coming.
No.
So you're binning the Soul series. You're damning them to hell.
But out of the other two, they're more story and entertainment. So I would buy Uncharted and fund Last of Us.
Okay.
But that's tough. Right. Like, really, I wouldn't get rid of any three of them, because them three are my top favorite games.
No, but you don't have a choice here. But right? You have killed Dark Souls. You've banished them.
I can't kill Uncharted, and I can't kill off Last of Us, so it has to be a process of elimination. Sorry, Dark Souls, but yeah, your time's up.
All right, okay. P, Pete, you're sitting behind your desk. You've got multiple cannabis trees next to you. You're enjoying the good life. And, you know, you're in a very unique trading company. You buy all kinds of exotic goods. And Pete, well, funny you say that, Pete, because Mark Wright, your trusty sales guy, comes in. He says, Mr. Chin, we have an amazing deal. We need to figure out we can get just incredible cost savings on three different versions of cock cages. I need you to tell me which of these are we going to buy, fund, or bin. So there's an onyx cock cage, there's a silver cock cage, and there's a golden cock cage. Pete, what do you think? What should we go with? What do we fund for all time? What do we do for a sale? And what should we just not bother investing in? What do you think are the best sellers?
Dear God. Well, I've not got any gold ones, so I'm going to go for gold. I'm going to go for gold to bin it off. Onyx.
Black.
Yeah.
Black onyx.
That's going to be the one that I'm going to go for. That's the clear winner.
All right. If I had said diamond encrusted, would that have changed?
Diamond encrusted on what? The gold?
On the cock cage.
Yeah.
Instead of gold.
It felt risky to me. That's why I pulled it off. That originally was going to be an option for you.
The diamond.
It seemed like that was the easy bin. Yeah.
Hard to dance because it's hard to machine onyx. So there you know.
And yeah. Boomer says, always bet on black. Brilliant.
Black? I thought you were Mexican. Anyway.
When is this cock cage thing going to drop?
I don't know. I honestly was going to give you a legitimate one this week, Pete, but then I thought, you know what? Let's have some fun with it. All right.
Yeah,
there you go.
With me, so there you go.
Hey, it'll return. We'll do it again next week. Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for participating.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got some news. Mark, do we have a little news jingle we could play?
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So I'm going to start with the I've got my news stories. So I'm going to start from the bottom up, Mark, just so you know, in case you're curious. Fall Guys lands on Switch, Xbox, and Epic Game Stores on June 21st. It's going free to play. So basically, everybody is getting Fall Guys. I don't know if this is a big news story or not. I know it was super popular for a while. It kind of feels like maybe it's past.
It was free on PS Plus a while ago. I've still not played it. But I know some people play it religiously. It's like it's a knockout type thing, but with like gang beast type controls.
Okay, so, well, it'll be available for everybody pretty much. Sony detailed God of War Ragnarok's accessibility features. Basically, they said they have over 60 different ways to adjust the gameplay to best suit your playstyle and needs. I thought this was actually more important for what wasn't said versus what they have actually within the accessibility features. But I mean, to me, if they're talking about this, I feel like there's a good chance this game now is coming in 2022. Right. Because I know there were people who are speculating, could it be delayed again? And I think if they're coming out and talking about these kinds of features at this point, I do. And they have had other developers within the Sony team saying it still was on track for coming out this year. But on track, who knows what that means? I don't know. This to me felt like a very good sign that this is coming this year. And we should see it probably September, October timeframe.
I'm guessing holiday time somewhere.
Yeah. If you were a big Death Stranding fan, there's good news.
Enormous Reedus.
That's what the women call him. Norman Reedus apparently in an interview was saying that work had just started on a second game for Death Stranding. Obviously, no details were there, but it was interesting that Reedus noted it took about 2 or 3 years to complete all the motion capture for the first game. I'm assuming they might reuse some of that motion capture stuff for this year, but who knows? Or this mm-hmm. this version.
This is another game I've still got to start. I've got this on PlayStation. Yeah. I've not played it yet.
Delivery Man, yeah. That's the game I
want to
play.
Yeah, DHL.
UPS guy.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting that, one, it was Norman Reedus that was leaking this out. You would have thought he would know not to say something, but okay. All right, and last piece of news, and this actually is good news for those looking forward to the PlayStation Plus new extra and premium versions. Sony revealed a full list the at-launch list of games. So these games are going to be available for either the PS Plus Extra or the PS Plus Premium editions. So not your just regular PS Plus. Another interesting note to this was they also announced that Ubisoft Plus Classics will be coming to the PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium. If you are confused by all of this, like I am, okay, welcome to the party. Mm-hmm. But the good news, I actually think that the lineup is pretty good if you're not an existing PlayStation fan. And I say that because the vast majority of the games coming at launch look like they're PS4, PS5 games. So you've got, and I'm just going to blow through these real fast, so just get ready. There's a long list coming. Alienation, Bloodborne, Concrete Genie, Days Gone, Dead Nation Apocalypse Edition, Death Stranding and Death Stranding Director's Cut, Demon Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Everybody's Golf, Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Cut, God of War, Gravity Rush 2, Gravity Rush Remastered, Horizon Zero Dawn, Infamous First Light, Infamous Second Son, Knack, Little Big Planet 3, Loco Roco Remastered, Loco Roco 2 Remastered, Spider-Man, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Matterfall, Medieval, Patapon Remastered, Patapon 2 Remastered, Resogun, Returnal, Shadow of the Colossus, Tearaway Unfolded, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, The Last of Us Left Behind, Until Dawn, Uncharted the Nathan Drake Collection, Uncharted 4 A Thief's End, Uncharted The Lost Legacy, and Wipeout Omega Collection. So those are all the first-party games. I'm not going to go into all the third-party games, but there were a good amount of, well, probably about, I don't know, so I'll call it maybe 20 third-party games that were in there. So Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Red Dead Redemption 2, again, in the mix within those games. But that first-party lineup is really solid. If you were not buying these games before.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
I think that's the caveat to this. It's like, well, who is this for then?
Yeah.
Because if I'm an existing PlayStation gamer, the likelihood is, I think, I don't know, you tell me, but I think you guys have all pretty much played most of those games.
The big ones, like your Uncharted and your God of Wars and stuff and your Last of Us, yeah. But like you say, if it's someone, they're trying to entice someone away from Xbox for PlayStation, but the draw to the Xbox is the Game Pass. This is a good option now for them to either get both consoles or Switch. So they've got that draw to it now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, this is the perfect... I mean, I honestly very well may just subscribe up as I want for PlayStation Plus Premium or Extra. I guess Extra, I wouldn't do Premium, but because I can play some of these PlayStation 5 games off my PC. Mm-hmm.
Is that still going to allow for the remote play then for that? Well, it's not remote play, it's cloud gaming, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
I have the bandwidth now on my internet, so this seems like a fairly viable option for playing older games. Obviously, not the latest greatest, but I've never been beholden to needing to play the latest greatest for PlayStation. So, No, I mean, it's a good list, but I think that is a question that is going to need to be asked is, who is this a good list for? I really feel like this is a good list of games for the non-PlayStation fan.
Yeah.
I don't know, as a PlayStation fan, somebody who's played most of these games, Mark, I mean, is there anything on that extra tier that's you're like, oh my God, I need to have that or I need to play that?
There's a few on there what I've always wanted to play, but the smaller games, like I've heard Patapon's really good. Smaller games like that. But yeah, all the big games I've already played. So yeah,
Peter, what about you?
It probably won't be worth me paying for that extra service.
I'd love to play some of these games that I've not, and that there are so many that I've just not touched on the PlayStation service, but I've just not got the time to do it. But for people that have not experienced PlayStation Plus or the PlayStation experience, I suppose, and they've just been pro Microsoft, it's definitely worth investing in both, isn't it, now?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's an attractive list to me.
Yeah,
but I've not been in the PlayStation ecosystem, so no. I guess that's just where I'm kind of like, a curious move.
It's targeted perfectly for you, then, isn't it?
But price wise, you could do it. So well, and just like I've done, I bought a PlayStation last year. I didn't pay a penny for it, and it's like buy now, pay 12 months later. And I've got one more payment now it'll be done. And you could do that now. You can buy PlayStations to that degree where they're coming to a huge cost. But an Xbox, as far as they go, I mean, I've always said that I'm not into my like high graphical content, and I'm not bothered about what TV I play on. I'm just bothered about what the game is. You could buy an Xbox Series S for £250, and you could buy that, I think, now on a subscription model, and it's just. Mm-hmm. There's so many options now for people to just buy it at maybe over time it's a lesser price, and you haven't got to fork out that huge cost straight up, and the subscription models for both are all right. I don't think they're unreasonable for both of them. I don't think they are, and for what you get and what you could experience as far as moving from Microsoft to PlayStation, or from PlayStation to Microsoft, I think it's worth just going into both at this point and just seeing if you've got the time and just seeing what your flavor is. It is all about that. It is about time.
Kim, anything you want to add on to this?
No, I'm kind of like Mark, because a lot of those games I've already bought. So for me,
PlayStation fans, thank you for that.
Right. So, I mean, for me, the list doesn't really, do much for me. And so, but who knows? Maybe as it goes along, they'll add more to it, and it'll make, because for right now, I'm like booked up for, I've got PS Now for a year, and then I think I'm booked up for PlayStation Plus for like 3 years, because, you can add to it. So, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, for right now, the list doesn't really do much for me, because, like I said, I've already got them, because I bought them either when they were on sale or whatever. And unfortunately, because I'm a bad PlayStation person, I haven't actually played many of them. So, but it comes down to that time fucking thing, and I don't seem to have a lot of it here lately. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. It's one of those catch-22s. As we're young, we're like, God, I wish I had the money to be able to play all these games. And but you've got all the time in the world. And then now, as we're older, we have the money to be able to buy all these games, and we have no time.
Right.
Yeah, but
exactly.
But 10 years' time, or maybe 20, 30 years' time, when we're all retired and we're like, we're old OAP gamers, like, we ain't going to talk nothing else but games, are we? Because we've just got everything in the entire universe to play. So we've got to look at it like this. We're on a journey, and eventually we'll get there. Just listen again in 20 years' time, and we won't be talking about cock cages and Japanese weeds or whatever.
We will always be talking about cock cages.
We'll be the overseas pension podcast, don't we?
We'll probably be talking about hernias and
get me my teeth backs. And get me
I'm
my
booked
teeth
in for a hip replacement next week.
Shit, I've just pissed myself.
All right. Speaking of things we can buy, Kim, let's talk about games coming out this week.
Glad you went that route instead of like games you could piss yourself through or something, Anyway, your new releases for May 22nd to the 31st are Hard Space Shipbreaker for the PC on May 24th, and I believe isn't that coming to Game Pass? I think
so.
All right,
I believe so.
Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds for the PS or PS, huh, PC, iOS, and Android on the 25th as well. Scroll down here because, you know, my list is gigantic. Roller Champions for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 25th. Sniper Elite 5 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 26th. I also believe that's coming to Game Pass. KO the Kangaroo for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 27th.
Real Pac-Man. Quickly, I just got to call you out here. Is that KO or is that Cow? I want to say Cow the Kangaroo. It feels like a name.
Well, if you want to call it Cow, then call it Cow. I don't care. It's going to skin off my nose.
I don't give a kangaroo.
Cow the Kangaroo, you know. I'm just picturing like a Holstein-colored kangaroo now. But anyway, that's beside the point. Pac-Man Museum Plus for the Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC the 27th as well. Oh, dear God, don't let Anthony know about this one. Snow Runner for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S on May 31st. And those are getting releases.
Now, I've already bought Snow Runner, but it's the Xbox.
Why?
I mean, the normal Xbox version, because it was in a sale. It might be Mud Runner, actually. Now, will I get a free upgrade to the X version?
Well, I wonder, because I know when the new Witcher upgrade thing comes out, if you've already got the Witcher, it's going to be free. So.
And another thing in that list, Roller Champions coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, but not 5 and X. That's brave, isn't it? Releasing for the older generation and not the newer.
Right.
You have to think that you can still play those versions on the new console.
But it won't have the enhancements, will it?
Yeah.
And it's all about the enhancements. Just ask me.
Yeah, because like a lot of games now, they're only releasing on the newer consoles and not the older ones, aren't they? And that's the opposite way around.
Pete, by the way, we were not talking about those kind of enhancements. We were talking about glitter. all right. Mark, you made a good point. Sorry, but the enhancements conversation took precedence. all right. Future play dates. Keep this in mind. If you're hanging out on Wednesday nights and you're thinking, God, what should I do today? You should come play Halo with us. We are on 9 p.m. in the UK. That is 1 p.m. on the West Coast. 4 p.m. on the East Coast. So, you know, it might be happy hour for you on the East Coast. Come play, hang out, play a few matches of Halo Fiesta. If we have a larger group, we might, instead of doing the big team battle this go around, I might just make us play a custom game.
Yeah.
And Fiesta, so we can have a little fun with that.
Yeah.
We might have to do that, but I have to bring Anthony along. So, if you don't mind, that's okay. A 9-year-old.
So. We don't mind.
He'll probably wipe the floor with all of us.
Yeah, pretty
Wouldn't
much.
Doubt it. And he's used to, you know, playing games with me, so he's used to language, so that's not a problem either. So
it's perfect.
Right?
Brilliant. Pete's going to be there. That's what I've heard.
Not on Wednesday. Not for Halo.
My bad. Pete's going to be there Friday night because that's where we're going to play some PUBG. Absolutely. Again, all are welcome to come join. We are on the Xbox platform for PUBG, but I think we can play cross platform.
Yeah, because on your friends list now in the game, you can actually send friend requests to. You can have PUBG friends or your online friends, so you can send friend requests to other
it's
consoles.
Just like real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. all right. Well, there you go. PUBG Friday nights. Hang out, have a pint, have some PUBG. It's like a pub, and we're playing PUBG. All right, that does it for pretty much all the news, all the play dates. So we're really at this point, we're talking about wrapping up the show. So we want to start off with Kim because Kim leads the way always.
I'm going to shout out our chatters. We've had a few of them today, and the chat's just been really busy. So we've got Lord, Hardly Dan, there was Joysticks and Chills, but I'm assuming that was John Mouse.
Yeah, Johnny.
That's what I figured.
He just wanted to hear his name called out for Halo, but we totally snubbed him.
Boomer, happy birthday, Boomer. I know it's tomorrow, but still, happy birthday. And Martin has been in there. He's all obsessed about the bush, apparently.
So, 83, Boomer. Happy birthday again.
Right?
83.
He looks good for elderly.
I know. He does look good for 72, even.
Right. So, yeah, guys, thanks for stopping in on the chat. It's been interesting today. It's been freaking hilarious, to be honest. So, thanks for that. Shout out for you guys, as always. It's always fun. Boy, this was a long show today, too, let me tell you. But, yeah, it was a good show. I appreciate it. So, yeah, everybody have a good week this week, and over to Mark.
Well, shout out you guys. Thankfully, Greg made it on time tonight.
Right? What the hell is a SOPA? We never did figure out
what the SOPA was.
I totally forgot to talk about this. So we were at a Portuguese festival. So SOPA apparently is a Portuguese cuisine that involves like a brisket meat. It involves sweet bread. But here's the weird part. And I do say weird because I was not a fan of this. I didn't want to say anything at the festival because I was going to offend the nation of Portugal. Right. But they actually it's a wet bread. So they have gravy that they pour over the bread. So it makes it very soggy. Mm-hmm. And the brisket was awesome. But usually they also have like a cabbage or some kind of vegetable that goes with it. But they didn't at the festival. So it was meat and bread, which I'm totally cool with, up until you made the bread soggy. In which case I was like, I just really want to eat the meat and I don't want the soggy bread. So there you go. That's a SOPA.
So it's like a hot beef plate, only it's brisket. So all right.
Yeah. More or less. I've probably done a major disservice to the Portugal nation and Portuguese people. Also, I learned you were definitely not supposed to say Portuguese. They take offense to that.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, oops.
Gotcha.
All right, continue on.
Yeah, a shout out to the two hosts who aren't here, Phil and Robin. I want to shout out the Wednesday Night Halo crew. We have a blast every week now. It's getting more and more each week, more people join in, and we're having a lot of fun and a lot of banter. So, yeah, it's really good. And hopefully people will be there Friday for PUBG nights. Over to Pete.
Right, well, I've got nobody to shout out. So what I have just done is Googled what happened on this day in UK history.
And oh, God.
Apparently, in 1840, on this day, Britain ended the practice of sending convicts to Australia. How about that for a fact? So that's what happened today in the UK. Yeah, I've got nobody to shout out, so I'm just going to be boring like that and give you that straight fact and hand it over to Greg.
I love that Pete's call out is to talk about Australia being a prison colony.
Yep.
Well, it was.
I know it was. I know it's kind of a cool little fact.
And now it's a country where everything there is trying to kill you.
Right. Well, yeah, spiders, and still, if you snakes. Ask some, a prison colony.
All right, I'll give you another one then. In 1987, the world's first open plan zoo, Whipsnade, opened in Bedfordshire.
That's
in the UK. So it's still open there's an open plan zoo. So I don't know. Okay. I've never been there, so I'm only expecting that you could run around with orangutans and swing on an elephant's trunk and
ride a zebra.
Anyway, over to Greg.
I don't know how to follow that up. I will try. I will start off by saying thank you to the three of you for being on time, unlike me. I appreciate all three of you for making the show. Shout out to Robin and Judith. They're going through a little bit of a tough time on the family side. So our hearts and thoughts are with you guys, but hope all stays well. Kim, shout out to you and the slicked back hair earlier today. Absolutely got flashbacks to True Lies, Jamie Lee Curtis, when she takes the water and slicks her hair back. Yeah. It's a good look, Kim. I say go with it.
Thank you.
Shout out to Pete. Just because. Just because. Not going to even make a ginger comment. Wow. Not one. All right. I think that does it. So we're going to send Boomer his AARP card because apparently he does not have it. That's something for the record. You should be getting notifications in the mail constantly now because we're putting your name on their list. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be talking E3, even though it's not E3. We're still talking E3 because, damn it, it's still E3. So we're going to have some predictions The team is hard at work. They've all been researching. They're going to be accurate. The best predictions ever. Pete has promised. He's totally on it. Mark, absolutely on it. Kim, again, solid predictions as always. Nothing, none of this general nonsense either. I'm holding you guys to the fire. These will be documented.
I wasn't joking when I said I'm using Richard Webster's choices because they're really good ones.
Yeah, no, they were pretty good. But yeah. You could still try and use those, but you have to be a little more specific because his were a bit generic still. So I'm just saying, you got to, come with the fire. All right, that's it, everybody. Go have a great afternoon, the rest of your weekend, whatever time you have left, make it worthy. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.